the last chapter, it started very well. It started with two unknown judges, unknown heroes, but they ended up doing great things and ended up really bringing peace and prosperity and a revelation, a revival to Israel for about 45 years. And then they stopped. And unfortunately, during this time of peace, and I'm going to emphasize on this again because it's something that we've been talking about. During this 45 years of peace, you're supposed to be working. We're supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be strengthening our faith, ourselves. We're supposed to be going after the things that God has for us and had for us, and maybe we missed out on. This goes for all of us. You know, it goes for us as families, as husbands and wives, as fathers, as mothers, as servants in the church, as members of the body. When it is time to for peace, when it's time for rest, it doesn't mean it's time off. It doesn't mean early retirement. Here is the thing, here is something that I boldly said last time. I'm going to say it again. If you're not fighting, you're defeated. If you're not fighting, you're defeated. What am I saying? Am I saying that we're in constant fight? Yes, we are in constant fight because the enemy never stops fighting. God, as long as we are breathing, it means that we still have a mission. We are still praying the prayer that God, the Lord Jesus, taught us. Your kingdom comes. Who brings this kingdom? You know, your will be done. Who does his will? It's you and me. We are here on earth to bring his kingdom everywhere we go. We are here on earth. That's our purpose. We are here on earth to do his will, and that's our mission. So we're here. We're supposed to work. We're here. We're supposed to be active. We're here. We're supposed to be, you know, full-time Christians, full-time Christians, that wherever we go, whatever we do, we're supposed to be spreading the gospel. We're supposed to be spreading the good news. We're supposed to be possessing the promises or the land that God has given us. Unfortunately, the Israelites didn't do that and use those 45 years for early retirement. You know, just like we've seen this theme before in the Word of God. And what ends up happening? They end up worshiping other gods. And we talked about those gods. They worship seven different gods that they learned how to worship and they learned how to live by from the other nations they were supposed to get rid of. And instead, they learned from the other nations, and now the other nations are attacking them. This relates to all of us. We need to examine our hearts day after day. We need to examine, are we relating to this world? Are we meshing with this world? Are we getting mixed up with this world? Or are we fighting against it? Yes, we are here. We're from this world, but not really. We're from it. We are here. We're living in it, but we're not from this world. So we see that they started worshiping other gods. And then after that, other nations took over and they enslaved them again. They cried out to the Lord. They came back just like they did, just like we do. When things get tough, we come back. And then God said, okay, I will save you. But then they said, they had this, there's this verse in the last chapter that says, who is the man who will lead us in the fight? Who is the person that's gonna start fighting for us? And we ended with this last week. And this is a question for all of us. Who is the man? There are people around you everywhere. Who is the person that's going to fight for us? Soraya, there are people that you know, without telling you this out loud, but they are crying out. Who is the person who is going to fight for us? And that could be you, Pastor Edwin, Pastor Al, Pastor Mike, me, Dina, everyone. You know, we have people around us that are literally saying these words all the time. Who is the person who will fight for us? Who is the person who will lead us in this fight? Do you know anyone? Do you know any families around you? Do you know any neighbors? Do you know any human beings? You do? I guarantee you, someone somewhere is hurting and needs someone to lead them in this fight. someone is in a battle right now. Guarantee you a million gazillion percent. Someone you know is in a battle. It could be a health battle, it could be a spiritual battle, it could be psychological battle, mental battle, financial battle, social battle, whatever it is, marital battle. So many things. Someone around you, someone around me is defeated and looking for someone to lead them in the fight. May God give us open eyes today. May God open our eyes to be that person that leads in the fight. Today we start chapter 11,
11.
I think.
Yeah.
And we start and we are going to be introduced to a new character in the Word of God, a new judge. His name is Jephthah, and he has an interesting story. So we're going to read a little bit about him, and we'll see where we need to stop. So we'll start first from verse 1 to verse 3. Judges 11, verse 1 to verse 3, it says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior, but," listen to that, "but he was the son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father," so he was from the Gilead, he was a Gileadite, a Gilead. Died, and his father's name is also named Gilead, was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, 'You shall not have inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman.'" Then verse 3, "Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob, and worthless fellows collected around Jephthah and went out with him." You know, the I named this first part is the least likely to succeed. I didn't know this, but I guess in high schools here, they vote on people, right? The most likely to succeed, the most likely to be an athlete, the most likely this, the most likely that. So if we have to take a vote, if we're in high school, who is the least likely to succeed? Probably everyone in high school wrote down Jephthah, because he was born of a woman who was called a prostitute. And that could mean two things. She could mean it. It could mean that she was really a prostitute, but also could mean that she was a pagan woman, and that his father Gilead, had a relationship with her, even though he was not supposed to. And then Jephthah came. Either way, he was not well regarded. He was not accepted by the society. So if I'm an Israelite, and I am going to say, who is the person who's going to fight for me? Who is the person who is going to lead me in the fight? The least expected person to succeed, the least expected person to be chosen or picked, guess who it was? It's probably this man. You know, when Samuel went to Jesse's house, he said, "Let me see all your children." And then he brings them all one after another, all big boys, strong, tall, and all of that. And he was like, "No, there is one more." And he was like, "No, there isn't." No, he's like, "No, there is one more." He's like, "Oh yeah, there is this kid. He's a teenager. He's not a fighter like these. He's not a big boy like these. He's not a big man. He's not muscular like these ones. He's a kid that, holds a little guitar and sings and writes poems all day. That's not a man. That's not a warrior. That's not someone we can depend on in war." But Samuel's like, "No, that's the one. That's the one." So we have here in front of us the least likely to succeed. And the Word of God is full of these examples. And this is so good for you and for me, because if I have to vote for myself, if I have to give a title to myself, I would give that title to myself, the least likely to succeed. I can look at so many things that I have done. I could look at so many things that I am missing. I could look at so many things that I lack, and I say, there is no way I can do this. Look at cold and had them turn the world upside down, the least likely to succeed. Look at the Word of God. Look at the Virgin Mary, a teenager from a no-name country, a no-name village. And then he uses her to deliver the Savior to the world. Look at all these examples in the Word of God. It's very, very evident that God looks at those who are labeled least likely to succeed. And God opens the door. And this, if we go back to chapter 10, when we ask who is the person who's going to lead us, God has someone in mind. And guess what? It could be you and it could be me. And you have no excuse. I have no excuse. He was able to use anyone and everyone. He was able to use people that no one would choose, no one would pick, but God was able to use them. Isn't this great news for you this
Amen.
morning? I mean, this evening. I know it's great news for me as well. I know it's great for news for me tonight. As we are exhausted, as we have no energy, as we have been fighting so many other battles. And I was like, oh, well, this is good. When I read this and I'm like thinking, how are we going to go through Bible study today? I was like, this is perfect because today I am in the least condition to succeed. And praise God for that. Because when I am in the least condition to succeed, He is in the perfect condition to succeed.
Amen.
When I am at my weakest, he knows how to fill that weakness. So praise God this evening for
Yes.
that first revelation that we all just received. Praise God that we are labeled the least likely to succeed. Praise God we are labeled that we are not worthy. Praise God that we are labeled that we can't do it. We're not talented enough. We're not gifted enough. We're not rich enough. We're not educated enough. We're not strong enough. We're not eloquent enough. Thank God we are labeled these things because this makes God take complete power and control. So, what does his name mean? Jephthah. What does his name mean? Means God opens or God gives freedom. This is getting better and better, you know? So God opens. So God gives freedom. They are enslaved. The doors are shut in front of them. Then what does God send? God sends someone who gives freedom. And I think the first piece of freedom that you and I receive today is that we need to drop all the labels that you and I put on ourselves. Because we have labels. And if the world labels us with something, most likely, you and I labeled ourselves with those labels and believed it on ourselves. So, the first thing that God would like to open today is to open your eyes that it's not what the world labels you with, it's what He labels you with. And what God labels you with today is that you are a mighty warrior, that you are a mighty warrior, that the same words that were told to Gideon are told to you as well today. In these verses, we find out that God gives freedom or opens doors from the least likely of places, from the least likely of people, from the least likely to make a difference or to succeed. His mother, again, was a prostitute, which could mean she was actually a prostitute or could mean that she was someone who was worshiping idols. Either way, it didn't look good for him. But either way, it made God be the hero of the story, not his upbringing and not his family tree. This is also a good side note for us that God has the ability to change our story from what the world labels us with to what he labels us, what he gives us. Because God does not call us, you know, slaves. God does not call us not fully children. No, God calls us children and fully His. A mighty man of a mighty warrior. Tob means good. So when he was rejected by his family, when he was rejected by his half brothers, he fled. And fled means that he was being attacked. They probably not just didn't want to give him the inheritance, Most likely they wanted to harm him or kill him because they didn't want him to participate. So it says that he fled to Tob, Tob, T-O-B, away from where he was, away from his father's house on his own. So the story doesn't get any worse. So a man who's not respected, who's not regarded, who is not, no one is claiming him, his own father is letting this happen to him. And now he is fleeing from his own brothers and going to this place called Tob. And when I looked up, when we looked up the word Tob, it means the word Tob means good or pleasant. And how do you call this place good or pleasant? Well, to you and me, a lot of circumstances, a lot of situations might not seem good or pleasant, but these are the areas where God is training us. Tob, T-O-B, the place of training, the place to him of fleeing, the place of escaping, just like the wilderness for Moses. Moses was in Egypt, lived in the mansions, lived in the palace. He led wars. He led battles. He was well regarded. Then he finds himself in the wilderness working as a shepherd. This is not a good place, Lord. This is not the plan. This is not what I signed up for. This is not what you called me for. And I don't know who gave you this perception about Christianity or about Christian life, that as soon as you give your life to the Lord, you will be living in milk and honey, literally, and you will be living in health and wealth, and God will have angels accommodating to you, Ferrari on one side and Bentley on the other, and health in one side and pleasures in the other. I don't know who sold us this brand of Christianity. I don't know who sold us this brand of the relationship with God. It's not real. It's not true. We are here for a purpose. We are here as the armies of the living Lord to do his will and to do his purpose. So, Tob means pleasant or agreeable, not to him. To him, it's the place of escape, it's the place of even prison. Just like what Paul went through, just like what Abraham went through, just like what John went through, just like when all the disciples went through, just like what Jesus went through. This is a good and a pleasant place in the eyes of the Lord. But to you and to me, this is the place of fleeing. This is the place of escaping. This is the place of leaving the father's house. This is the place of working as a slave at Potiphar's house. This is the place where I'm being put in prison for being faithful and honest. This is the place of being in the wilderness. This is the place of pain and suffering. But to God, no, this is a good place because this is the place I'm training you for the next step. You are in training. And I am in training. You know, we are all in training right now because there is something coming your way that you might not see right now. There is a message coming your way that you might not see right now or might not have heard yet. But there is someone screaming your name, someone calling your number right now, and you're coming soon, and you're about to be not on the bench anymore, but on the floor, handling the ball, making shots. And right now you're in that training place. So Tob means pleasant or good, but to him this was the place of escape and wilderness. This is where a very common thing for all of us, very common, where we can't see the good behind the wilderness we're in. So it's okay to feel that way, but I just want to also encourage you, just like we said earlier, that salvation can come from the least places that are expected, or from the least to expect it to succeed. The place that you're in right now, that you don't see anything good in it, in the sight of the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord, this is a good place because God is preparing you. You know, you shall not have inheritance, his brothers tell him. You shall not have inheritance among us because of who your mother is. Because of a mistake of someone, you shall not have inheritance. But that's not what grace said. That's what the law said. What grace said, welcome into the Father's house. You know, the law says that as soon as you see that prodigal son coming back, you go up and you bring your clay pots and you break it down be under his feet and say, as you shattered your father's wealth, as you shattered your family's reputation, may God shatter your heart the same way. That's what the law said. But what the father says, he runs after him. He covers him. He puts the ring in his hand, the ring of authority, that ring of that stamp again. And he tells him, welcome and let's celebrate and let's rejoice and be merry. So the world will always tell you, you're not good enough. The world will always tell you you don't have place. But can I give you good news today? It's not only that you have a good place, that you have a leadership place. Can you believe that? Can you say this to yourself today? You know, while the world is telling you that you're a nobody and you have no place here, God is sending you a clear message today telling you you're not just a somebody, that you are a leader, that you are a warrior, that you are a general in my army. Can you believe this today?
Yes.
Can you believe it over yourself? Can you remind someone of it today? Because we often forget. You know, I'm very thankful for this woman right next to me because she often reminds me, especially after the long days, especially after the days of Tob, where I didn't see anything good happening. She reminds me that you are God's child, that you are purposed, that you are meant to do amazing and great things. You know, believe it or not, no matter how strong that person next to you, that person that you know, no matter how strong and holy and wonderful they are, they still need to hear these words. They still need to hear these words. So, because the world is always reminding us and telling us we're not good enough, we don't have a place here, we don't fit in, and we don't belong here. So we need the word of God and we need each other to tell us that not only you have a place here, that you have a leadership place here. So use those words and remind yourself that today I'm going to say the words of grace. Today I'm going to say the words of good news. Your past and how others labeled you will not disqualify you from the fight and from the job and from the mission that God has for you. Whether you have the inheritance, whether you were given the inheritance or not, that does not qualify you. God can still use you and not just use you, but use you in a mighty and powerful way. He fled his father's house into the wilderness, into nothingness, which was the perfect place to be. Because a lot of times, we hang on to our family's inheritance. We hang on to the things that the world give us. And in order for us to take what God has for us, we must let go of the things that we have in our own hands. And it says here that worthless fellows gathered around him. This is very similar to what we heard about David. Remember when David was being chased and was on the run. It says that a lot of people who are worthless, who are bitter, who are without families, who are chased, gathered around him. And these bitter men and these men who had no one to care for them or love them became a mighty army. So a lot of people think that Jephthah was a thief or was a one of those people that attacked. No, he was actually very much doing what David was doing, guarding people while they're traveling, or offering his services to people while they're traveling, offering services to people while they're in the harvest season. And because during these times, if you're traveling from one city to another, most likely you were mugged or, you know, something stolen from you. If you had a harvest, or if you had a lot of positions, people you were the target of theft. So Jephthah and his people were used to You were used to help others for hire, for money. So he was getting paid for this, right? And to help people. While it was not the nicest of jobs, it was not the most prestigious of jobs, but you know what? He kept on training and fighting. He kept on training and fighting while his half brothers, while all the other people are in the comfort of retirement, this man was out there in the wilderness fighting. I know that we all don't like the wilderness. We all do not like that place of fleeing. We all don't like it. And we look around us and say, look how great their lives are. Look how easy they have it. Look how prosperous they are in any way, whatever way you want to name it. You know, their family, their children, their ministry, their finances, their social life, everything around them is prosperous. And I am here with these, as the word of God says, worthless people. That's not me calling them worthless. That's what the word of God calls them, you know, who people don't care about, people that don't have a lot of value in this society, don't have big names or whatever. Look at me here. And then God is like, no, I'm training you. You're in the perfect place because you and the people around you are called for something greater. But to be used and to be useful in this great thing that I want you to do, I must strip you first. Because with your own strength, you can't do anything. But when you're stripped and you have my strength, there is no limit to what you can do. So, who is the least likely to succeed? That's the person we are looking for. God will open the door from the least likely of places. God will give freedom from the least likely of occasions. God allows circumstances that look like horrible, horrible things. But that is the good and pleasant. This is Tob in your life. Even if your inheritance was taken away from you, even if you were not giving what you deserve in this world, that doesn't matter because God has much more value for you. Even if you were rejected by the closest people to you, God has never rejected you or never rejected me. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your pain. God has a purpose for your wilderness. God has a purpose for every little thing that you and I go through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I needed this message today. I really needed this message today. I
Yes.
hope. Oh, no, we're not. Keep going. But I'm just. I need to get some water also.
Exciting.
No, no.
Verse 4.
Oh, that was only three.
That was only three. It says, after a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring, I just lost my place. Jephthah, sorry, from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our leader, that we may fight against the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, do you not hate me and drive, did you not hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now with your distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the Ammonites and be our the head over the inhabitants of Gilead. Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again and fight against the Ammonites, and the Lord gives them over to me, I will be your head. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be witness between us if we do not do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah spoke over these words before the Lord in Mizpah. So here's Jephthah, who has, as Assam said, spent this time in Tob, a difficult time, a time where he was shunned from his family, where he was fleeing and in a place of exile, really. And it was during this time that God made of him a mighty warrior. A warrior that became so mighty in the way that he fought and commanded authority that when the people of Israel came to the place where they needed someone to fight for them, they went to Jephthah. There was no one else. There was no one else in the entire nation, and they went to him. Which is very interesting and kind of goes back to what we've been talking about, that during the time of peace, people just kind of phoned it in. They took the time off. It was time to for some R&R. You know, Jephthah's brothers thought they were in a pretty good place, right? Because they had ensured their inheritance. The one person that was a ridicule to their family was now the person that they had pushed out, and they were sitting in peace while Jephthah is in Tob working and training and becoming a warrior that was so noticeable that the very people that kicked him out of his father's house were the ones coming back and saying, "Come and fight these people, fight for the people of Israel." It's just the most amazing thing. It was very similar to the armies of Israel when Goliath came before them, and there wasn't one person that was ready except for little David, who had spent time day in and day out every single day working in the field, killing the bear, killing the lion, doing the mundane work that feels really, really, really small and feels like it's not really significant at all. And God's using this time to build and create something incredible. You know, I can think that oftentimes, maybe in our mundane world, and you know, we're not fighting bears and lions, or standing at the road and warding off thieves as Jephthah was likely doing, and building his strength as a warrior. We're not really doing those things, but for them, that's what it was. It was very small. And in the space of what feels like rejection, God is actually training, and God is creating in us what He has for us to walk in, this fullness of His will for our life. You know, as Jephthah's brothers rejected him, they sat in places of peace and places of comfort. They sat in places of comfort. But when it was time to fight, when it was time for a war, when the Ammonites were coming after them, they didn't really have much to give because there was nothing stored up in them. There was nothing that had been in training for them. The elders came desperately seeking for Jephthah's help, desperately seeking it. And God used his pain to bring leadership. God forged leadership out of rejection and hardship during his time in Tob. Painful experiences can prepare us for places of leadership and
Amen.
purpose in our future. I'm going to say that again. Painful experiences can prepare us for places of potential and leadership in our future. So don't look at these places of pain, these places of rejection as woe is me, pity party time. I love pity parties. Self-pity parties are some of my favorite parties to go to. Okay? And I have it and I get a cup of cocoa and I curl up in my pity party blanket and I make a day of it. Okay, that is a dangerous space to be. During those times are the times to get on our knees and fight. the times to sink into the word of God, the times to lift our hands in worship and train ourselves to worship during pain and rejection and difficulty and brokenness. It's in the brokenness that God is going to create this beauty that will be ready right when the time he's ordained comes before us. The same people who rejected Jephthah sought his help, and he confronts them and agrees to lead. And this is another just incredible example in God's word of what it looks like when we forgive those who have hurt us the most. Forgiveness can often be the road that leads to purpose. Forgiveness is the road that leads to purpose because that pain is usually caused by people. Pain is typically caused by people. I mean, not always. Sometimes pain is just brought about because of life and the difficulties of life. But there's a good portion of our life that's painful is caused by other people. And Jephthah had that exact experience. And when these people came to him, he could have said, "You know what? You deal with it. You know what? Didn't you kick me out of my father's house and took my inheritance? I mean, how painful is that? I mean, when you stop to think about it, how difficult must that have been?" But Jephthah used that space of forgiveness. And it restored him. It restored the situation, and it brought him to a place of purpose. Think about this. Think about the person or people or whoever you fill in the blank that have brought you the most pain in your life, and extend right now forgiveness towards them, or ask God to help you to get to the place where you can extend forgiveness towards them. Because in that action, purpose will live.
Amen.
In that action in our life, purpose will live. Jephthah made a decision. He talked to them. He said, "Didn't you do this to me?" But then finally came to a space of reconciliation with them. And then because of that, was able to fulfill purpose, not only in his life, but really for an entire nation. They agree to this deal that Jephthah made with them, and they basically make a covenant at Mespah, which is where people make covenants, and they agreed to move forward in reconciliation for the common good of an entire nation. And a lot of times, our spaces of forgiveness and our spaces of reconciliation and restoration with people that have brought pain to us is a lot of times not for just for us. It's a lot of times for those around us. And so think of that. Think of your children, think of your grandchildren, think of your extended family, think of your church, whatever it might be, that a lot of times God wants to bring reconciliation so that it's extended his extended purpose for the greater good happens.
So we label these two or three, these few verses from 4 to 11 as coming to the rejected Savior. And our Savior has been rejected, by the way. Our Savior is that stone that was rejected, and now he is the most important part of the building. So this is not news to us, because our Lord and Savior was rejected. He is still rejected. But the more he is rejected, the more he is, when people love him, want to speak about him. How many hospitals, how many schools, how many orphanages, how many nonprofits, how many churches, how many believers, how many billions of people that are still calling on his name while he was rejected, while he's still rejected. But you know what? This is not this 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 news does that does not should not. Should not be a shocking news to us, because we know this world rejected him. but he's still here. He's not
Wow.
going anywhere. I think we'll close at this today. So the first part that we talked about is the least likely to succeed. Praise God, because I can put myself under this category. That's wonderful. And two is coming to the rejected Savior. The rejected Savior who loved us, even though we rejected him. He cares for us, even though we didn't care for him. Even though we said no to him, he's still available for us, and he still can save us, and still loves us, and he still has the ability to restore us back. Amen.
Amen.
We'll have a few minutes. Please unmute yourself, comment, ask, or share with us what you think.
No, there really isn't much to comment on because it's all truth. But woven so nicely into the story of Jephthah. So it's not like new revelation, but it's clarity that comes out of this story in a new and fresh way. So yeah,
That's
great
great.
insight. Least likely to succeed was amazing. Tob, the good and the blessed, the good and the pleasant. The fact that he learned how to fight and protect people, as that was kind of like his job, that was his training for what was going to happen. I mean, all that, just like, okay, you see David all over again, you see Joseph all over again, you see Moses
Yeah.
all over again. So there's no really
Absolutely.
no question. It's just like confirmation, if you will.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, anyone else?
Well, maybe it's just a quick question. Like, how do we feel when we are labeled least likely to succeed? How do we feel when we are rejected by those who are around us? How do we turn our hurt? Because I know how we feel. We all feel horrible, of course, and that's okay. Like, I'm not saying we're wrong, but how do we turn our hurt? How do we turn this bitterness to from the least likely to succeed into going and being a savior, or working for the savior, you know what I mean? And leading the nation and leading the people and accepting my mission and accepting my job, that God has given me. Because we're all faced with the same stuff daily. We're all faced with rejection.
One of the things you guys said here at towards the end is that reconciliation benefiting others.
That's
And
good.
that's a really good message of getting your eyes off of self and your hurts
Yeah.
and your eyes now on others, of helping others and benefiting others. Not thinking of your hurts and pains, but just being able to reconcile and allowing God to do what He has to do in your life and others. So it was a
Yeah.
real good reminder.
That's good.
It's
Thank
great.
you.
And I think, Pastor Mike, you touched on something that's like been for me something that God's been working in my life, where anytime I feel like the pressure is on in a particular area, then I know that that means that God wants me to extend love and kindness and service in that specific area to someone else. Because it's the principle of the kingdom, right? Is the more we look at ourselves and the more we focus inward, the worst things will be. But as we decrease and he increases in our life, is how we overcome these labels, how we overcome these places of pain. So if I'm having, if there's financial trouble, then it's time to give more to someone else. If there's relational issues, then it's time to invest in someone else relationally. As there's a feeling of lack in our life, the answer is to give in that very area, to others.
Amen. Anyone else? All right. Pastor Al, can you pray for us, please, as we close?
Lord, we just thank you for these reminders tonight, Lord God, that you really do choose the least likely to succeed. And thank you. Thank you, because that really is the case, Lord God. And thank you that you bring us to a place of goodness and a pleasant place, a place where that doesn't seem like it at the time, but you are doing a work of training in each of us. I pray that we would keep in mind and in heart, Lord God, the fact that the rules and the laws of the kingdom are so very different than the rules and the laws of this world, that we're to not so much focus on where we are, what our tension is, our friction is, our pain is, but to begin to do the exact opposite. It's so counterintuitive, but those are your ways. So give us just to trust you. Give us to trust you the way that you've asked everyone in scripture to take a step and trust you. And it doesn't make sense, but doing it your way works. And so give us the grace and the faith and the desire to take those steps and to trust you and to begin to watch as things begin to shift in the spirit and begin to experience victory unlike any other time in the past, where your peace floods our hearts. And it floods our minds, and it penetrates not just our lives, but the lives of those around us, as we heard tonight. I just pray your blessing over our son and Dina, your blessing over Gracie, your continued touch, Lord, your continued protection over them as a family, all of them, and your blessing over everyone here on this call tonight, and for those that will be listening to this later, Lord, your goodness and your mercy, Lord, follows us all the days of our life, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone.